As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Zach Harper. We got Josh Huestis. We got Jay King. We got a show for you. But before that, we got some housekeeping to do. Make sure you are subscribed to the Athletic, theathletic.com/NBA show. We still have that promo going? Let's say we do. Also, make sure you subscribe to The Bounce, theathletic.com/bounce, free newsletter from myself and Shams Charania that you get every single morning in your email inbox. And if you want, you know what, I'll get someone to print it up and we'll send it regular mail for you too. And make sure you subscribe to the Athletic NBA Show podcast YouTube page. If you're on it and you haven't subscribed, there's just like a little button down below. You want to click that thing. All right, guys, we have the in-season tournament really starting tonight. Forget all that group play BS. We got the real stuff. We got single elimination. We got, if the Celtics win tonight, Jay King goes from Indianapolis to Las Vegas. Couldn't be two more polar opposite cities to throw yourself into than Indianapolis and Las Vegas.
I'm here so in Indianapolis, and they were like, "You got a great view. Like you got a view of you got a view of the stadium." And I look out, it's like the minor league baseball stadium, which is going through renovations and just looks terrible.
They didn't say what
and
stadium.
Then there's like a factory. There's a Lucas Oil Stadium and nothing else. Like look, they were hyping up this view though.
No offense to the phenomenal people of Indianapolis. If you're from there, if you love it there, sure. Like I'm from Sacramento, I get it. Like sometimes you just like a bad city, right?
Or like a city Indiana. That no one loves. I'm an Indianapolis guy.
But I haven't spent a lot of time there, but the first time I was there was for a conference finals. Like this would have been like probably 2012, I guess. And I was so bored on an off day. I went and saw the movie After Earth with Will Smith and Jaden Smith in the movie theater.
Oh man.
I've never seen that one.
It's a bad movie, but stop. I kind of like it.
You never like felt it. Compelled.
I love that movie. I've seen it so many times. And yet, Dave, great After question Earth in the so chat. Many times? We have done it on Cinephobe. What's Cinephobe, you ask? It's the movie that Amin El-Hassan, or it's the podcast Amin El-Hassan and I do, where we review bad movies. We try to ascertain if they're actually good movies, or maybe they can get a fair shake. That's Cinephobe. You find it wherever you get podcasts. I agree, Dave. It is a great pod.
Really quick, The Happening. Did you ever do The Happening?
Not yet. Would you like to be the guest when we
got
do The
to.
Happening?
Okay. The worst movie I've ever seen.
It's really bad. It's for really,
can
really
I do Karate so Kid 3 with you?
Yeah, we're doing that soon.
Really? That is my favorite bad movie of all time.
Oh, it's so good, man. It's so good. Terry Silver is the bad guy.
Oh my God. I need to be on that episode.
There we go. Also, check out Very Potable. Or what is it called? Anything
still
is potable?
Still potable. Still potable.
Just thanks. Type potable into your podcast app and it will come up. It's Jay King talking. Check out that Patreon. All right, guys. We have the in-season tournament, the single elimination starting tonight. Tonight's games are Celtics at Pacers, Pelicans at Kings. The last time the Celtics and Pacers played, the Celtics won by 51 points. And then shortly after that, Jason Tatum complained about point differential in group play. I don't sense any bit of irony there. But Jay, you're there for the game tonight. What are you expecting? Are you expecting like another dog walking of the Pacers. Here's the thing that I love about the Pacers. Literally anything will happen in their games. You have no idea from quarter to quarter what is possible, because they, like, the second game they played against Miami this past week, they had 2 40-point quarters, right? The first game they played against Miami, they gave up a 45-point fourth quarter. Jay, literally anything is possible for
all
this
you know
Pacers
is that
game.
Somebody is going to score 140 points.
There Someone's going to get
one
of the
teams.
Lot of
might
buckets.
Be Indiana, might
yeah.
be the other team.
There's a high over tonight.
High over, yeah.
The but no, it won't be a dog walk. Halliburton didn't play the last time, so that was a huge piece of the blowout. The Pacers typically play the Celtics really well. I'm excited for this one. The Pacers just play insane games, like utterly insane games.
I love
there
it.
Is no defense going on either end because nobody can stop them. They can't stop anybody.
They have a real chance to have the best offensive rating in NBA history and the worst defensive rating in NBA history this season. They're like second or third all time in worst defensive rating, and they're number one by like 4 or 5 points per 100 possessions for best offensive rating. Like, they are blowing what the Kings did out of the water.
And granted, some of that is like, it's a new era. Scoring is a lot easier now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Some of it is also just they are an extremely lopsided team. They are all about buckets and nothing else.
They're the perfect team for me. Josh,
when they fly up and down the court.
Oh,
too,
my God. They off
the,
makes, the off misses, shots. Off turnovers. Yeah. They're just pushing the tempo.
And their defense, they don't really help. They just leave guys on an island and just let them get cooked. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. It's absolutely great. Josh, what do you think about the level of offense in today's NBA? Obviously, the rules don't help defenders in any way, but there, like, even me, even I'm like, it's a little too far. Like, we've gone a little too far in helping the offense. Like, it needs to be a little bit more competitive here.
Well, I think it's getting to a point where the game is being marketed to casual fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all about, hey, how can we make this more enjoyable for just the layman to watch? People that don't even necessarily understand, like, the nuance of the game, but they just want to see score. They want to see threes. They want to see dunks. Who cares about defense? Who cares about rebounding? Who cares about any of that? Which kind of sucks. I mean, I'm sure you guys would agree, as people who, like, enjoy, like, the nuances of the game, like, watching a good defensive team, like, that's fun to watch if you understand, like, what goes into it. But the game's just not being marketed to that.
Well,
it's like, hey, how could we appeal to the broadest population possible?
To that point, I mean, when you were playing in the league, like, it was headed this way, right? It wasn't this extreme.
For
sure. I really think the extreme of it, for whatever reason, once the bubble hit, once we were in not just the bubble in Orlando, but the crowdless games in the season after. It, like, everything just took off, and some of that's skill and some of that's development, but some of that I can't really piece together what is causing everything to look like essentially like a good shot. When you were playing, like, can you just describe how difficult it is to defend with the way the rules are now?
It's tough, and because they want to put the defense is already at a disadvantage as, like, just the way the game is played, but then they make it even harder to where, you know, hand checks get called more and more than they ever did, right? People are finding ways to take advantage of the game. Like, to the NBA's credit, they found a way to kind of beat that, like, with the Harden stuff, like the rip through on screens. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When Harden was in Houston, like, I remember, I don't know if you guys remember this, when Ricky Rubio would guard Harden that one year, and he would put his arms behind his back.
Yeah,
that was incredible. I was playing OKC, they told us literally to have our arms completely straight out the entire time. And eventually they did make it an offensive foul, what he was doing, you know what I mean? Or, like, the Trae Young defender on his back, jump backwards as he shoots thing. You know what I mean? Like, they're trying to – people are finding loopholes, man. Like, and I get it. Like, players just want to score. They're finding loopholes in officiating. But I don't think the NBA is, like – keeping up with that, and they're kind of like, hey, let's just kind of find ways to keep putting more points on the board, because that's what the people want to see.
And also, you have to cover more ground than ever before, because even the centers can shoot threes.
Well, that's the
guys who never used to have skill, like, all these centers didn't used to have skill. Now you see Wembanyama come in, you got Porzingis out there, like, stretching the court to 27-28 feet. You got Giannis, who's really a size of a big man, and he's dribbling up the court, and
he can have it.
Yeah,
it's just
I hate watching him dribble in the half court. I really do.
Giannis has a bag.
What?
Giannis has a bag.
Not really, though.
I wouldn't call it a bag.
Yeah, for a 6'11", 250 house, how many other guys are
his
size?
No, it's because he is 6'11", 250. He just, like he does. He just gets downhill.
Yeah. But
in the work, he just have counters.
Wish I could be 7
does he have counters?
Just run and dunk. Yeah, that's like that's the thing. Like that's the bag, right? Is when you have a counter to the
bag
way
is a counter. Defense. He doesn't have a counter. It's a drive and either dunk or drive, spin, and dunk.
And it's really effective, and it's really good. Like, let's not...
No, I'm not saying it's not, but that's not a bag. Yeah. That's not a bag.
Yeah, it's not a bag.
Did Shaq have a bag?
Bag Twitter would destroy
hell yeah.
you,
for Jimmy. His size, it was
Shaq. Shaq didn't have a bag.
Shaq did not have a bag.
Come on.
Shaq is the most skilled
Shaq
dude in his size of all time.
But that doesn't mean he has
a
bag. Like, no one's saying Shaq was bad. We're saying
he just didn't have a bag. That's fine.
Come on.
That's fine. He didn't have a bag. That's fine. Hakeem had a bag.
Yeah, Hakeem had a bag.
No bag.
KG had a bag.
Shaq, no bag. For sure.
Right. Yeah.
Shaq, no bag. That's fine.
Jay, who's winning? Who's
didn't need one.
Tonight? Hmm? Who's winning tonight?
I think the Celtics win.
Josh, who's winning tonight?
The Celtics. I mean, Celtics can
score and Kings
with
win.
Them, and the Celtics can defend. Yeah, and I got the Kings.
Now,
the Kings winning too.
The Kings got beat twice by New Orleans recently. And I think De'Aaron Fox was back for both of those games.
Was he in both of those games?
I know he's in the first one. They got
Where
blown out
in
the
too?
First one. Believe they were both in New Orleans.
Right. This one's in Sac.
Yeah, this one's in Sacramento. So there's some beam lighting that could happen. You know, there's a lot going on there. You guys both feel confident the Kings will win this.
Not super confident.
No, but
Zion's been amazing lately. Like his last 7-8 games, like he's back to being super efficient. Like he's like 75% at the rim. He's hitting floaters and stuff in the paint. Like he's been pretty incredible. Where the first 8 games, he really wasn't finishing at the rim. I don't know if he looks. That's the thing to me with Zion is like he dunked on Jaren Jackson Jr. in the first game of the season. And everyone's like, oh, look, the bounce is back. He's like, and I'm like, he doesn't look athletic to me anymore. Like compared to what it was, but he's finding ways to still score.
Yeah.
But this Pelicans
team,
I can't figure out this Pelicans team at all. When I think they're good, they end up being bad.
Yeah. So you have the Pelicans tonight then is what it sounds like.
I think I'm going to say the Pelicans. Yeah. I think I like the way they're playing. Although I like the way the Kings play with De'Aaron Fox, obviously, but I'm going to go against the grain with you guys. I'm going to say the Pelicans win tonight.
I mean, I don't hate it.
No, I'm not. It's not like I'm going, the Kings are going to blow them out. It's just,
The Pelicans are a totally different team when CJ McCollum plays.
Yeah.
Like, they just need his creation. They need him setting things up. They need everything he does. When he doesn't play, they're just lost.
Josh, there was a point early last season, where Jay said that Dyson Daniels was, like, one of the top 5 defenders in the league or something like that, and he was a defensive player of the year.
I never said that.
Dave can back me up on this. No.
Because you say,
no,
you
Dave
put words in my mouth that are just not even close to what I said.
You were like,
but I do love Dyson.
There have been multiple occasions where you said you didn't say something, and we literally pull up a screenshot.
A direct quote.
And you're like, and I've literally heard you say, well,
you can't take what I say in group chats as gospel, because I'm just being an asshole in group chats. But I'm a caricature of myself in group chats.
You're a caricature of the caricature of yourself in group chats.
You're a caricature of a human being.
So Jay's expecting Dyson Daniels to lock up De'Aaron Fox tonight, but the Kings still win.
No, De'Aaron Fox is
speechless.
Yeah. De'Aaron Fox is making me look bad.
Dude, he's been so good. He's averaging 10 points per fourth quarter right now. Just 10 points per fourth quarter. That's crazy.
You know exactly what's coming. You know it's the 2-man game with him and Sabonis.
Hey, shit you can do about it.
Yeah.
He's just too fast.
Yeah.
He's so
All right,
fast.
I'm changing my pick to the Kings.
There we go.
Yeah, see? We're back. I'm going to pick the Pelicans on social media, but I'll pick the Kings here that way. Hedge my bets. Not doing the same thing with the Pacers Celtics. I'm going to say the Celtics win this one. You guys saw the trophies real quick for the winners. There's obviously the NBA Cup, MVP trophy. The winners get medals, like actual medals. And then the five all tournament team guys get a black crystal basketball. And I know someone's going to try to dribble it. Like 100% someone's going to try to dribble it.
The moment it's handed to them.
I don't think, just for the cost of it all, because I'm sure these are expensive to make, we cannot let Jaylen Brown get an all-tournament team. It's just like, it's the basketball is not going to be safe with Jaylen Brown. It just won't be. We got to make sure he finds it. Like, I don't know what the voting process is going to be. I doubt I'll be involved with that. Like, we can't let it risk that. Do you guys like the medals? Like, Josh, would you be happy to get an NBA Cup medal?
I don't think it would really matter to me. I think I'd be more concerned about the $500,000.
That would probably like more. Yes.
I feel like that. In terms of things that are going to register with me after the tournament's over, if I win, okay. I don't think I'm going to go, man, I got a medal.
I need to talk to you about this because you were obviously not the highest paid guy in the league.
Of course not.
$500,000 would have mattered.
You're top five highest paid guy. You know, you're up there.
Would you have been like, Russ, I need you tonight. Russ, we need this. Russ, you may not need that $500,000, but us guys over here in this corner of the locker room, we need that shit.
I wouldn't say anything, but a loss would sting more for me than it would for Russ by a lot. Now, $500,000 just buys you a house in OKC.
It buys you a fucking mansion there, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, come on, man. Like, let's pick this up. Let's go.
Yeah.
Can I have yours?
If it's a tight, like, you're a competitor, right? Like, you're highly competitive. Yeah. But if let's say you've been like sitting on the bench, it's third quarter, things aren't going well. It's the championship game. $500K per player is on the line. Are you just like begging? Like, yo, you got to get me in there. I gotta be a part of it. I gotta change this energy of the game.
Let me try.
Yeah.
Let me go for it, man. This matters to me.
But what if like your stretch, you're like minus 10, it doesn't go well, it's like 2.5
minutes. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. I don't, my wife would probably be in the stands saying, get him the hell out of the game.
Yeah, get this bum off the court. What about tomorrow night's games? We got the Knicks at the Bucks. They already played in group play. Jalen Brunson dropped 45, but the Bucks did win. And we have Suns Lakers. Lakers are 2-0 against the Suns this season, but I don't think Devin Booker played in either game. How are we feeling about that? I think I've got the Knicks and the Lakers.
I've got Bucks Lakers.
Bucks Lakers.
Yeah,
I got Bucks Lakers too.
Here's what I think is going to happen. We need this in-season tournament to do gangbusters ratings-wise, right? I think you're getting Knicks-Lakers in the final.
Oh.
Conspiracy theory. Yeah. I'm going full conspiracy theory.
We're doing that.
Two biggest markets, man. That's what's happening. Lock it in.
That would do numbers.
Of course it would. You want to legitimize the in-season tournament?
If the Lakers make the finals in Vegas, it's going to be a home game. It's going to be crazy.
Of course.
Remember when Lonzo Ball had his summer league debut?
And it was nuts in there.
That was
nuts
one of the best environments.
Oh my God, it was great. Was that the same? That wasn't the same year that Magic Johnson pulled Brandon Ingram from the overtime, right? I don't think, maybe that was the next year. I can't remember when that was, but there was a game where like Brandon Ingram was, I think, a second year player in summer league, and he had like 30 in the first game, and the game went to overtime. Magic Johnson's like, you're done. That's shutting you down.
Sorry, bro.
Yeah. Like, you're good. Like, you proved it. You're too good for this. You got to go. I think that
why couldn't it be? I mean, Celtics Lakers not do the exact same thing?
It would, but I think Celtics fans are less likely to give a shit, whereas Knicks fans will embrace anything good, right? Anything positive.
They just want a W.
Yeah. Because this team is becoming like pretty good.
right? Like that, like the Knicks are good. Like they may, they're not contenders, but that's a good basketball team.
Decent.
And so I think, I think the fan base is just wanting to never be a punchline again. And so I think they would embrace the hell out of the NBA Cup.
Wouldn't it make them more of a punchline if they're just like gung ho about the in-season tournament, raising in-season tournament banners? And
because I think that this will become a legitimized thing. It's like maybe the first year.
I love the in-season tournament. The in-season tournament is amazing.
I'm willing to admit I was wrong for my skepticism. Like I'm already sold on it. I don't know. Like they managed to do it. Like I'm 100% in on this thing moving
when
forward.
The Celtics were up 32, fouling Andre Drummond intentionally to send
that's
him
a
to
horrible
the line,
game to cover.
That was when I was 100% sold. And then Joe Mazzulla was seeking after Billy Donovan and Drummond after the game to apologize. I was like, man,
I'm sorry.
The end season tournament's amazing.
That exchange between Joe Mazzulla and Billy Donovan on the sidelines was way funnier than the LeBron Ime thing. Way funnier.
And you could tell Joe was like, he was just in the heat of competition and he's like got the neck veins bulging, even though he's kind of like apologizing at the same time. Special stuff.
Real quick. All right. The eBay thing. What was that the right call by the refs? Is that, like once he says, like you're walking over here, like you're going to do something.
I don't
you
think
kinda,
so.
But with, I look.
You just talk like, come on. They're boys. They're just talking. Who cares?
It was pretty weak, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who cares?
Because like, it wasn't like they were like screaming at each other. It wasn't like anything physical was going to happen. They were. It was just kind of a mild back and forth.
Yeah, look, I mean, LeBron's never been in a fight, like an NBA fight, right? Like, I guess the Isaiah Stewart thing is the closest, but that was just Isaiah Stewart rampaging around the court.
That was a near-death experience for LeBron.
Ime, though, like, Ime fought an arena once.
Yeah.
Like, he fought an entire arena.
Dude, I did a preseason with the Spurs when he was an assistant there, and the coaches, the assistant coach, like Will Hardy, Ime, all those guys, they would play pickup just like after practices, whatever, and it would get serious, man. Like, I remember watching Ime, like, take people out, like trainers. Like, the trainers for the team are playing, and he's throwing elbows, and people are getting so upset. So, like, this, I mean, I think it's kind of good for the game, man, because it's like this fresh – younger coaches, former players that are like, they're still competitors. Clearly, I liked it. Honestly, I think it was kind of weak throwing them out.
The best part of the whole thing was he then found a way to take a shot at both his own team and LeBron and the Lakers in the post-game press conference. He's like, yeah, we got punked by a team that just does not punk people. Like, we got punked by those soft ass dudes, basically. I was like, man, is the perfect comment to just get at every single person.
I wonder if it's been long enough that people don't know the Ime Udoka story of him fighting like an arena. Like, I get it was at the African Championships, like, I don't know, 20 something years ago or something like that. And I can't remember what team he was playing for, but it was like essentially like after the game.
He was on Nigeria.
He was on Nigeria, yeah, and I can't. Who were they? I can't remember who they're playing, but after the game, essentially, like one guy on the other team wanted to fight his teammate. They are waiting for each other. They start fighting. All the teams join in, and then like the fans joined in, like it's like a Malice at the Palace before that. And the story is that Ime is just he's not just fighting everyone. Like it's a Jason Bourne movie that everyone comes at him. He's just like throwing people and hitting people and everything. It's that as he's fighting, he's telling the people on his team, watch your back here. Hey, guy coming up behind. Like he's calling everything out and while fighting. Like I would watch an entire like John Wick style movie about Ime Udoka in this fight.
So I wrote about it one time. I just went back and found it. It was a third place game in the 2005 FIBA Africa Championship.
Yes.
They beat Algeria.
The Algerian players
waited outside Nigeria's locker room waiting to fight. Fans saw it and jumped in. And Gabe Moynihan told me, I know people hear it and they think I'm making it up, but I'm telling you, everybody who was in there was fighting. I'm emotional. I'm half scared. And Gabe Moynihan is like one of the biggest men ever. I'm emotional.
But he was the one they were trying to fight, right? He was the,
I'm yelling, Dave was the one that they were going after. Other guys are angry. Ime's face is not changing. He's stoic. He's stoic, just knocking people out.
That's a hilarious point.
So I that like
he's stoic.
This isn't a knock on LeBron. Great. This isn't like, oh, LeBron's soft or anything. Like, LeBron's not fighting him.
No.
Like, in any scenario. Like, I don't think any, like, there are maybe five NBA players who would fight Ime Udoka right now. Maybe five. Like, I just don't think people are fucking with him.
But it was also kind of a weak move by Ime to be like, what are you going to do? You're not going to do anything.
But it's the, but he's right.
It's the NBA.
Of course he's not going to do anything.
You're not going to do anything. Yeah.
That's why it's the perfect call out, though. Like, it, don't come was, over here talking to me. Like, you're not going to do anything.
And then the amateur lip readers are just fantastic.
Oh, that's my favorite part, man. I love the internet sleuths.
Turn up the audio so we can kind of sort of hear it, but not really hear it.
Shout out to that person on the sideline that filmed, because they helped everyone piece it together. Great video. Yeah. Good work by everybody in that. The lady behind who like covers her mouth based on what Ime said. that was so great.
That's when you knew he said something legit.
Yeah,
that's when you knew it was no regular back and forth.
All right, let's move on. We're basically at the first quarter mark of the season, so let's go through a couple of things here. Who's the best team in the league so far this year? It's the Celtics, right?
I was going to say Nuggets.
Really?
Murray Celtics hasn't played in a while.
For me,
Murray hasn't played in a while, and so the best resume to this point, Celtics.
Yeah.
The best team when everyone's healthy, when they're at their best, to me is the Nuggets.
Yeah. But they really haven't. I mean, that's been a handful of games, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So you could say Celtics.
Yeah. Or I think
Timberwolves.
Thunder?
Timberwolves?
Timberwolves?
I mean, if we're not talking about Celtics and Nuggets, Minnesota, I think.
Look, it's hard for me to say they're the best team.
Their offense is like 18th right now.
Yeah.
But their defense is
amazing.
So what does it matter?
Yeah.
I feel like you got to be complete at some point.
Are the Celtics and Thunder the only teams top 10 in both offense and defense? I think that's right. I might be making that up. The crazy stat is that the Wolves have been in first place, sole possession of first place, longer this season than in their previous 34 years. Combined.
Like,
it was 10 days the previous 34 years, and it's like we're at like 14, 15 days now, I think.
I'm surprised that the team with Garnett
Garnett is a gift.
And Freewell and those guys didn't.
But they ended up as the one seed, but they weren't, you know, we're talking like sole possession of first place.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, because who else was in the West at that time? I mean, the Lakers.
I mean, the Spurs were great. The Lakers were great.
Yeah. So it makes sense that they didn't have sole possession for that long.
Yeah. That's nuts, man. That's just a crazy stat. Oh, what a tradition. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. We can all agree the Celtics on that one.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
How about this? Worst team. Is it the Spurs or is it the Pistons? Both rocking real long losing streaks. Spurs get blown out way more, but the Pistons are...
It's the Pistons.
You know what's funny? I was watching that game the other night, I think against Cleveland, and I'm watching the Pistons broadcast.
The Pistons had like an 11-game losing streak going into it against the Wizards and got mollywopped. Like, they knew that was their chance to get
W. They played Memphis this week.
Out.
Like, this is the
last
chance.
There's another chance.
The Pistons, I was watching the broadcast the other night, and they ended up losing by like 9. That's the thing too now, is I'm like, oh, they only lost by single digits like the last two games. Like, they're figuring it out. But the broadcast was like, oh, the Pistons got their swagger back. You can see. And then they ended up just shitting the bed in the fourth quarter and losing. But it's like they are trying to clap this team back to like life.
Back. Like, those motherfuckers used to be the most swaggy team in the world.
But here's the thing, the Spurs... So I'm doing this for the power rankings. Like
Killian Hayes is just coming in fucking strutting around.
He should not be playing crunch time minutes. I don't give a shit. Who is healthier or available? Like, he shouldn't be playing crunch time minutes.
Yo, that dude.
That's
should not
crazy.
Be playing any minutes at all.
Oh my god! Like, Will Bynum's not available.
I wouldn't give him reps at practice.
Come on. The Spurs are actually. Thomas. Solid in the first quarter, and then they just get destroyed second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. So like, yeah, there's a little bit of fight early on, but is it the Spurs or the Pistons? You guys are going with the Pistons.
Yeah. 17 at least the Spurs straight. Have Wembanyama, and yeah, the Spurs true. To some extent, like they're trying not to be bad, but they've recognized that they're bad, and they're just like,
and their average age
it, let's
like
just play Sohan
right?
at point guard. Let's see what we can figure out with Sohan at point guard. Like, mm-hmm. this is just an experiment for them. They're trying to figure out what works around Wembanyama, what works for Wembanyama. The Pistons, they're just trying. They're trying to win games. They're not experimenting.
Yeah,
with
that's
anything.
Yeah, that's
they're,
worse.
They really believe that Killian Hayes is like the path forward.
That's worse because this is what like the argument I've made in the past when people are like anti. Tanking, you know, anti-process, hinky, all that stuff. I'm like, look, I'm not saying it's great for the game, but I genuinely think what's worse is for like 10 years the Wolves and the Kings were trying to be good and they were in the bottom of the league every single year. To me, that's worse than intentionally losing, is when for like a decade straight you can't figure it out but you're trying to.
That's more demoralizing for
sure. That's way more demoralizing. All right, yeah. Best player in the first quarter of the season. Can anybody beat Jokic?
No,
like,
no.
He's leading the league in
not.
Points, rebounds, and assists.
That is the only option. It's the only option.
He's just...
He's better than last year.
Honestly, I kind of... This is going to sound crazy. I kind of liked watching him more when he was just a young, fat ass, like, just flinging dimes. Because now it's like... It's so clinical. It's so precise. Mm-hmm. He never misses, like... He takes 9-foot floaters and never misses them. Like 1-foot floaters, it never misses.
Yeah. It's like the toughest shot in the game. People that don't understand, like a 9-foot floater is so hard to make.
It's crazy how
good he
is.
It's not an easy shot.
Because you really are in that like no man's land, right? Where it's not a natural shot.
It's possible to make those shots. Yeah. And he makes them every fucking
time.
He never misses.
Yeah.
And this is a yep. Jay King impressed by this, who also was just going on and on about how good DeAndre Jordan looks over the weekend.
No, the DeAndre chat. Had a stretch, I swear, in that first quarter. He caught it and
what did
slammed
he say?
It home.
What did he say?
And then
he
they
said,
kept
DeAndre
running
looks
pick
good.
And rolls with him and Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
And DeAndre's role opened up like 4 straight shots for them. DeAndre had a quarter.
Was it Jay who said he looked? I was gonna say DeAndre looks so good. Then I looked at the stat sheet and he has 2 points.
Because I was rewatching the game later, and so I was able to look at the box
and then the
score
next game, JaVale McGee just absolutely ran him off the floor. Absolutely.
You know what? You live and you die with DeAndre Jordan. Sometimes.
Yeah. Who's been the best role player so far this season?
So I didn't know what you wanted from this exactly. Like, where is the
whatever you want?
What is a role player? Is it just someone?
Whatever you want it to be.
I went with Jaime. If that,
because I just Jaime.
I've loved Jaime for years, man. And he's so good. And he's perfect. Is there,
and
like,
he's not
we
even from Montana
the other day? Hey, you don't know. I need to talk to him in person. Maybe there's something there, but
Juan Wick.
But like, in terms of Juan Wick, is like we were talking about the other day. Like, is there a more perfect fit for the culture than Jaime Jaquez?
I mean, he fits right in with what they want to do, how they want to play everything.
That's my guy.
Yeah,
that's my guy.
And he just knows how to do everything. He can ISO you. He can post you. He can rebound. He can play off ball. The guy's just
like
really
without
freaking good.
Without the two crazy rookie outliers, Chet and Wemby, like he would have a shot at being rookie
of
the year. He would absolutely have a shot. There's just two generational talents that are
There's nothing
taking up the number one and number two spot. Like, what are you gonna do there?
Right.
It's kind of crazy to be named the best role player in the league as a rookie.
But am I wrong? Like, would you not think about him as an option?
No, I would probably take him over the guy that I chose.
Who did you choose?
Jalen Suggs. Oh, okay. Interesting.
Suggs. Yeah. And it's been really good for like a week and a half, 2 weeks. Like,
it's really, like really different. And obviously, like, his shot isn't all there. He's not going to kill you with points. But I just love how hard he's playing. I love the defensive mindset. I love that he's just nuts. Mm-hmm. And I also didn't know like where the role player cutoff is. Like, is Rudy Gobert a role player?
That was my pick.
Right. That's a good
Rudy
point.
Rudy was my other, like, Rudy was my other option.
A guy that makes that much money, like, could he possibly be considered a role player?
Look, that's a good agent. You know, that's what that is. Yeah. That's a good agent. No, I mean, that's disrespectful to Rudy, but he's kind of the star role player, right? Like, is Draymond Green a role player?
I don't know. Like, is an all-star a role player? Like, I don't understand. Like,
can you be an all-star as a role player? I think so. We had all those Hawks make it 1 year.
Yeah, but multi-year all-star.
Yeah.
Multi-year.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's different.
I mean, like, if he's healthy, is it Jaden McDaniels? You know, Malik Monk has been spectacular for the Kings. Is Drew Holiday a role player? Is Derek White? Like, Derek White's probably the best role player then.
If
right?
Derek White's
this season?
A role player, Derek White.
That's a good one. That's
I mean, Derek White's been
that's true.
Just incredible. So it's probably him. All right, let's move on. Let's go to most entertaining player or team.
There's only one option for team, right?
Pacers.
It has to be the Pacers.
Or the Wizards.
I'm totally disagreeing. And I love watching
what?
The Pacers.
How?
Orlando Magic are
No. Their games are ugly, though. Like I'm all in, but their games are ugly.
The games are ugly.
Pacers, you're going to see 150 points put on the board, and you're going to see zero defense.
See, this is where we're different. I want to see the defense. I want to see Jalen Suggs barking at people. I want to see Mo Wagner flexing after and ones. I want to see just the craziness. And then you got Franz Wagner, who's so big and such a good downhill drive. Like, he gets big men and puts his shoulder into them, and they're just kind of immobilized sometimes. I love watching the Magic play. That is a tough, tough young team.
I like
and
watching
for them,
them
to be
play
so
too,
good
but
defensively
they're not the
at
most,
that age.
They're not the most entertaining, though. They're not. It's not entertaining basketball.
They entertain me. It's not necessarily the basketball. It's the antics. It's they're starting to realize how good they are and the emotions coming out with it.
Josh is right on that. It's the Pacers.
Tyrese Halliburton skip down the floor.
Oh, my God.
Like, dude.
Halliburton's great to watch.
When they score, leading the league in scoring, like you said, maybe the best offensive rating in history.
Yeah.
And
by like
the
four or five points.
The worst defensive rating
if it
in
wasn't for the Hornets and the Wizards, they'd be running away with worst defense in NBA history.
Like, that's just it's entertaining, man.
Yeah,
like,
it's completely because you genuinely don't know what's going to happen.
Did you not see Suggs recreating the Dwayne Wade, LeBron James moment?
But with
like
Cole
that's
Anthony.
The type of nonsense
no,
you
Cole
get with the
Anthony.
Magic.
No, the type of nonsense you get with the Pacers is anybody could get a 50-point quarter.
The
anybody
the Magic the Magic are insane. Like, they're a bunch of insane people who defend their ass off and are just beginning to realize how good they are. I love the Orlando Magic.
Who's the most disappointing team?
The Clippers for me.
Oh
yeah, Clippers.
Because I don't think so there's another option early. Like,
yeah. Is it because of the trade?
You were, and then they traded him.
I love, and then they traded everybody away, and now it's just, it just fell apart, man. That's for me. It's the Clippers. I really thought this was the year for the Clippers, and then the trade happened, and it just,
wow.
I don't know.
PJ Tucker had the best.
Wasn't meant to be.
PJ Tucker had the best quote about that team. It was in Sam Amick's article today, where he had a one-on-one interview with James Harden about everything that's going on. But PJ Tucker said there are not enough balls on the planet for this team.
He's not wrong.
He's on the fucking wrong, team, man. And he's like, man.
That's, of course, that's.
He's not wrong. They can't score in crunch time. I know Paul George hit that shot to beat the Warriors the other night, but like, they can't score in crunch time. They're so bad offensively in crunch time. I mean, it makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense.
There's no energy. Like, they, it's just terrible to watch. They're just walking around. Yeah. Everybody's standing in place. They don't know how to play together. They don't want to play together. It's
Jay. What's your pick? Most disappointing team?
Clippers. Clippers.
Man. Really?
most depressing team. Most disappointing team.
Yeah. I'm going Warriors. I'm very disappointed in the Warriors.
I didn't pick them, and it's because of our next thing about the preseason take that has aged well, is because I told you at the beginning of the season that they weren't going to make the playoffs.
Josh got real close to the mic for that one.
Josh got so close.
Everybody
to
was
mic.
Like, everybody was got, like,
he went right up on the mic. Oh,
I told, and they're at 11.
Face.
That's the only reason I didn't put them, is because I called it from the beginning.
That's your best. That's your best take.
Everybody
that's
gave the, me shit.
Yeah, that's true.
That mic, like, it fucking hit him.
He went up to that mic like he's Ime Udoka, and the mic's LeBron James.
He said, "What you gonna do, soft ass boy?"
Well, my pick for the preseason take that has aged the best is, I told you the Orlando Magic were legit. I told you they were a 5 seed. I might have undersold them. That Magic team is good, man. They're not the most entertaining, but I said that they were top 5 in the East this year. They're, I also so said the Pacers are top 4 in the East, and that maybe isn't going to look so great. But the Magic, that's mine. Jay, what's yours?
I was perfectly correct on the fucking Rockets. You guys all shitted on me.
They're 0-8 on the road.
They're going to be horrible. Dylan Brooks is the worst. Well, you know what?
What is that voice?
They're perfect.
It sounds just like when he tries to do my voice.
Yeah, why'd you become a kid with a speech impediment? What happened there?
I watched
it. It's the Adam Sandler. He's got Jay and it's Adam Sandler. That's the only voice. Everything just becomes Adam Sandler.
Yep.
Why wouldn't it be? Everything should be Adam Sandler.
that's a take.
I was so correct on the Rockets. It's special.
They're not on pace to get 40 wins, like you said.
Yeah, they are. They're 8-9. That's close
38.
Enough.
That's 38, man.
You just did it on your calculator, too.
I sure did.
I saw you look down. I was wondering what you
got. Damn right I did.
My man pulled out the calculator.
I looked up the record. I couldn't remember if they're 8-9 or 8-10, and then I did
they
that.
They were going to have a nice defensive fabric. They're going to struggle at times because they don't really score much.
Yeah.
But that's going to be a tough team all year.
They're really good at home. They're really bad. I wouldn't even say they're bad on the road. They can't figure it out on the road yet, but they're competitive. But they're at home. That is a different team.
Rockets are decent. Just all right, what's the kid told you they fucking would be. Right, Mike?
Okay.
Right,
get
Mike?
Real close to the mic. Get right up to it.
Then, Jay, let's go to the preseason take that is aged the worst.
Man, I don't want to watch the Kings. I don't want to talk about the Kings. I do want to watch the Kings because they're actually great to watch. But
they're making you look like an idiot.
I don't
want
to hear about De'Aaron Fox's progression, man. It makes me sad because that was everything that was right with my predictions.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be so wrong on them so far this year, it fucking hurts, man.
Didn't you say they weren't going to make the playoffs?
It's like selling a stock early before it keeps climbing and climbing and climbing.
Yeah.
I was just a dummy.
They're the 4 seed right now.
Yeah.
And Fox was out for a while, too.
Yeah. It's still the fourth seed. Josh, what about you? You got the Warriors right. What did you get wrong?
No, I got the Heat wrong. I didn't think they would be. I know. And I know you love this. I know
culture,
you love
this.
How did you not see it coming? Hawkins.
I know.
You should have known Hawkins.
Yeah.
I know. I know, right? But they're better than I thought they would be. And even in an East that's much better than I thought it would be. Like, yeah, don't bet against the Heat, I guess.
Don't do it. You can't
don't bet against the culture.
I'm sticking with the Warriors. I thought the Warriors not just would be good. I thought they'd be contenders. Like, they just, man, they don't do that. Don't raise the roof in 2023. What are you doing? That's not okay. That's not an acceptable thing to do. Just raise the, what are you going to do, the Cabbage Patch next? Like, what are you doing? That's the most Montana-ass shit you've ever done on this podcast.
I'm bringing it back.
I'm bringing it back. I haven't lost faith in the Warriors. I have not lost total faith
like,
in the Warriors.
I know Draymond missed time and everything. I just, man, it doesn't look like, you know, Wiggs had a couple of games recently where I can see it. Clay had a good game recently, but I just watched them. I'm just like, man, this does not look like even a team that I can guarantee will make the playoffs.
No, definitely can't guarantee they're going to make the playoffs. They might make,
which is crazy. Look how good Steph is. Steph is still that good, and this team is such garbage around him.
The Wiggins, we had a topic of most disappointing player, which we skipped over, I think. Yeah. Wiggins is the most disappointing player.
No.
Really?
No. Jordan. It's Jordan Poole.
How could you be disappointed?
He was supposed to be shooting. He doesn't even shoot. He's doing nothing but collecting the check.
There can't be anything more wild that he does. Something new happens.
He's at that.
Like the Pistons game.
That block, yeah. Thank God they won that. Can you imagine if they had lost that game to that Pistons team and he had that play? And I think it was like the second or third quarter. Like, it wasn't in the fourth, but oh my God.
Like, every time, I'm like,
that would have been the poster for him being just a disappointment. Does Clay count?
Can't stop playing from. I almost put Clay. I almost thought about Clay, but JP.
Jordan Poole has had one of the most embarrassing seasons ever. One of the most disrespectful to the game seasons ever.
Yeah, DeMar DeRozan and Jason Tatum want to bitch about point differential. The Jordan Poole experience is way more disrespectful to the game of basketball.
Oh, far right more now. Disrespectful.
He should be doing Cam Thomas is doing. There's no reason why he shouldn't be playing like Cam Thomas. Who I love, by the way. That's not a shock to anybody. All right.
Like
Jordan Poole would be a Zach guy, but he disrespects the game too much.
He not just disrespects the game. I don't mind that. He disrespects the Gunner. The spirit of the Gunner. That's like, you can't disrespect the spirit of the Gunner. You got to put him up. No matter what. Like, one of my favorite things, this was like, man, maybe like 2008 or something like that. And the TNT crew was kind of calling a game. Like, Shaq, Kenny, all those guys. Like, they're chiming in or they're calling a game or something. And J.R. Smith got the ball. And Kenny Smith immediately said, oh, this is going up. And he did. He took a shot on the possession, didn't pass it. But Kenny Smith just immediately, when J.R. got the ball, and it was like, I don't know, 16 seconds on the shot clock. He was like, oh, this is going up. Because you knew J.R. Smith was a gunner. He was the respectful gunner of that spirit. That's his job. Yeah. You don't get to be a gunner and maybe shoot.
And you,
that thing's got
to
go
on. You can't take nights off. You can't take plays off when you have to always be about the bucket. You have to be the type of guy.
You can take plays off.
Game,
it's called defense.
Up, whatever. You're going to get buckets. And
you can take all the plays off on defense that you want, but you got to put them up on the other end. That's the spirit of the Gunner, and he has been disrespectful to the spirit of the Gunner. And I won't have it.
The Gunner lives on in Jay, in pickup games,
in pickup stories. At least we don't know if any of them are true. We found that a lot of the stuff he says gets changed the second you question it.
This is not true.
30 feet.
That's not true. 25 feet.
25 feet.
It was 18. A free throw.
Who's to say, really?
He actually missed a floater and someone got a put back. Who knows? Who knows what happened? All right. Last but not least, I think this is a good one. Team that is playing unsustainably good.
So this is weird. I have a weird answer here.
Okay.
My answer is the Bucks. And it's not that they're unsustainable. It's like their record is totally unsustainable if they continue to play this way forever.
Mm-hmm.
They are, I think, the best clutch time team in the league. They're just kind of like, I don't know how they have the record they do. They're still very much figuring things out. Nothing has been smooth. They haven't really integrated
they're
the
not
Giannis
deep.
Dame thing correctly. Their record is great. But everything else says they should not have the record they do. I think they're going to figure a lot of that stuff out. I think they'll actually end up playing a lot better than they are right now. But just the way they're playing right now, if they continue to do that, like their record has to slide. It has to.
Josh?
I honestly couldn't think of anybody that I think is playing unsustainably good. I think people are kind of on brand from what I see. I don't see anybody that's like out of their minds or playing above what they are. So I don't really have anybody for that one. I think everybody's just kind of playing to their level.
I am
good answer,
100%. I wish he had gotten like real close to Mike to say that one.
I like to sit right on top of the fence.
Yeah. So that's where Josh is most comfortable, just right on top of the fence. Even amount of distribution from one side to the other. This is 100% colored by what happens Saturday night, but I'm going to say the Mavericks. Like, I don't think the Mavericks are as good as they've been. They're like 11 and 8.
30-0 run in the fourth quarter. 30-0
run and they lose. That is so fucking funny. It was such a wild game. And I would turn that game on like, I think it was like 14, 16 points into the 30-0 run. The Mavericks announcers were going crazy. I looked at the win probability stuff, and the win probability when the Thunder up 24 points in the fourth quarter, early in the fourth quarter, their win probability is 99.9%, right? It leaves that just that little sliver of opportunity. When at the end of the Mavericks run, that 30-0 run, they're now up 6, and their win probability went from 0.1% to 84%, and then they lose that game. And them losing that game was so funny.
It was like they just totally lost control of the game from then on.
Yeah, no, Luka got called for a travel. That was a travel. He lost his shit at it. I'm shocked he didn't get a technical foul. Maybe he already had one in the game and they didn't want to throw him out. But he was just complaining the rest of the game for like the final, I don't know, like 2-3 minutes, and it took him completely out of the game. And they just had nothing at that point. And they've been so good in the clutch this year. Their offense has been phenomenal. Their profile is very similar to the Bucks in terms of like offense defense. But man, like that did it for me. Where I was believing in the Mavericks enough, and then you go on a 30-0 run and lose the game. Couldn't do it anymore. And I know how irrational that is. It's just overanalyzing a 7-minute stretch of the season. But that took me out. Can't do it anymore. And Luka just had a kid. It's a lot of sleepless nights, man. I don't think we're gonna get the Fred VanVleet thing. I think he needs a sleep.
Luka's gonna gain weight.
that's the beauty of it. Like he had the dad bod before he was a dad, and now he gets to really lean into that. That's the way to go. That's how you're supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, you don't know about that because you're in shape professionally.
Yeah, what an asshole.
Yeah, like what?
Yeah,
like,
right. Neither one of you have children, and you're talking about the dad bod and the dad weight and all that.
Yeah.
Okay.
100%. Yeah. Okay, I got a dog. It's basically the same thing, right?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's where we're going to end that. We're not going to let Josh respond to that. Make sure you subscribe to The Bounce. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to all the podcast feeds. You know what to do. Hit that subscribe. Leave reviews. Leave 5-star ratings. All that stuff. For Josh and his lovely family. For Jay and his wife that he won't shut up about. And for me and my
very pretty wife.
It's going to do it for us here on the Basketball Edition of The Athletic NBA Show podcast.